Amen. Thank you, Brother Combs. Did a good job on that. It's a great song. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Let me ask you tonight, is living for Jesus a main thing in your life, or is it just a tack on? Just a nuisance, an interference with your other jobs and plans and hobbies? Or is it a main thrust of your life? Is Christianity just a sideline? Or is Christ your life? Stand with me and we'll read one verse for our message tonight. Listen quickly, because it's not a long verse. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, I don't know about you. Don't know what you think about Christ and living for Jesus and being a Christian. But to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, help me tonight as we look at this verse and learn some things that would help us in our walk with you and our life for you. The fact is, we so often think about our life for you, and we fail to realize that without you, we have no life. For Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, Christ, who is our life. Thank you for giving us life and making our life here in this world worth living. Thank you for giving us something to look forward to beyond this life. If all we had to look forward to was death and the grave, then we would be of all men most miserable. Lord, help us tonight to see the blessed treasure we have in Jesus Christ. And may we grow to love you more and appreciate you more, and look at our life in Christ and for Christ, not just as a tack on to our plans, but as the preeminent thing, as we live and breathe day by day and go about our life living it for Jesus Christ. Now, Father, help me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, at the writing of the book of Philippians, is in prison in Rome. It's been about 10 years since the church at Philippi had been established. And it had been about 3 or 4 years since he had heard any word from them. They had sent him several offerings just to help him in his ministry, but it's been now about 3 to 4 years since he's heard a word from them, and Paul had begun to wonder, do they still love me? Do they care about me? By the way, is there anyone that loves you wondering if you still care about them? It would be a good time to stop and look and see who you ought to write a letter to or make a phone call to just to let them know I love you. Paul was in prison. And after this 3 or 4 years, and though he had thought they'd forgotten about him, one day a man named Epaphroditus showed up, sent from the church at Philippi to Rome with an offering. And not just an offering, but had sent him there, the Bible says, to minister to the wants
of Paul.
Not his needs, wants, the Bible says. What a wonderful statement. And what a picture of a servant. Coming down to Philippi, Epaphroditus got sick and almost died. Epaphroditus, Paul tried to get him to go home, and he wouldn't do it because he felt like he was letting down the people at Philippi if he didn't stay there and minister to Paul's wants. After a while, Paul writes them this letter out of the prison cell. The theme of Philippians is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he sends it back to the church at Philippi by Epaphroditus. Now, in the first chapter, Paul makes this amazing statement. Yes, he's in prison. He's been beaten. His body is weakened. He suffers. He's sick. He's cold. He aches. He's been mistreated, stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten over and over again. And now then in prison, knowing that it's not going to be long till his life ends, he never lost the wonder of being a Christian. He never lost the excitement of being a child of God. And he said, even though my surroundings may look bad, even though my treatment has been awful, even though I'm in a prison cell knowing that it's going to be a short time until my life is taken from me, he said, I want to tell you, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want us to look at that statement, for here in this one simple statement is the sum total of the Christian life here on this earth, or it ought to be, for to me, to live is Christ. And when it's all over, to die is gain. Here is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Christian life stated here. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. All that we are as a Christian is summed up here. We see here the meaning of life and the means of life. The means of life is Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no life. Without Him, there is no eternal life. Whether you have physical life only or you have spiritual life, eternal life, that life is the result of the creative hands of our Savior. For to me, to live is Christ. He's the means of life. There is no life apart from Him. He created all things that are, and all things exist by His hands. He created and He keeps. He sustains His creation. And then, thank God, not only did He create us, but He bought us back, redeemed us, made us a new life in Christ. So He is the means of life. And Paul said, not only is He the means of life, He's the meaning of life. If you're trying to live your life without Jesus Christ, your life has no meaning. It has no purpose. It has no direction. You see, the central focus of all of our lives should be and ought to be and is supposed to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's to be our first love. The Bible says He is to be preeminent in all things. So He is the means of life, but He is the meaning of our life. If your life has peace and contentment, purpose and meaning, it's because Jesus Christ lives in you. He is the hope of glory for us. Not only is He the means and meaning of life, He's the purpose of life. Life lived in is to be lived in Christ. Life is to be lived for Christ. And life will be lived by the Christian with Christ forever and ever. So He is the purpose of our life. We cannot say my life has real meaning and purpose if we don't know Him and have that personal relationship with Him. I often wonder what Bill Gates' life is like. Oh yes, he's got billions. He can buy anything he wants. He can go anywhere he wants, do anything he wants, but I promise you, there's an empty place in his life if he don't know Jesus Christ. You can give your life to some social cause or some world cause or some economic cause, but it's not going to give you meaning and fulfillment, because Jesus is the purpose for our life. Life in Christ, life for Christ, and life with Christ. And then the results of life is eternal life with Him. I get to spend eternity with Him. I get to have Him as my Savior, my guide, my Lord here. I get to know His blessings. I have the privilege of calling on Him in prayer. I can communicate with Him and fellowship with Him and walk with Him. In this life, I can have His favor and His protection and His watch care and His power. I can even choose to live for Him and be godlike in my Christian walk as I walk in the Spirit. And then after it's all over, I get to go be with Him. I get to go. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Everything life is in Christ here, it's that much more when we get home to glory. It's gain. It's gain. Now, let me get to my message. First of all, Christ to live. For to me, to live is Christ. If you don't know Him, you're not living. If He's not the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul, you're not living. You're missing something if you're just trying to make Jesus Christ a tack on in your daily life. If your Christianity is something you have to do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights, you're missing it. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ." He is life. He's the essence of life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the joy of life. He's not some extracurricular thing we do. He is our life. It's about Him and for Him. We don't come to church for ourselves. We come for Him. It's about Him, worshiping Him. And Paul said in that little old dark, cold, damp prison cell with death written on the walls, he didn't say, "Because of Christ, I'm going to die." He said, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Notice what life is not. Life is not bread. Some people think, "Man, I'm living to eat." But Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Some people think that life is possessions, but life is not possessions, because Jesus said in Luke 12:5, "And He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, I like stuff. I like gadgets. I got my garage full of stuff and had to build a little old house out in the back of my house to keep some more stuff in. And I can't hardly get in that house now. I got a little attic in it, and it's full of stuff. But you know what that stuff is? Stuff. And it's meaningless. It's just a gadget. It's a little do-what-ya thingamajig. Has no real purpose and meaning to my life, but Christ does. Life is not in possessions. And life is not trying to keep the law. Now, we ought to keep the law. I'm talking about live by God's laws. But that's not life. It says, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. If all you're trying to do is to live to keep the law, hoping that'll satisfy God, Paul said, you're under the curse. Because we've all sinned. The wages of our sin is death. Now notice what life really is. Life really begins not at conception or at birth. Oh, physical life begins at conception. But real life begins when you receive Jesus. We're made alive in Christ. We're quickened. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Receiving Christ into our heart and life. That's the meaning of life. Jesus said in John 6, verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me or receiveth me, even he shall live by me. He is our life. So life begins when you receive Christ. And life really takes a step forward, and you can start enjoying your Christian life when you learn to allow Christ to control your life. You know, when you tear your bumper sticker off, he is my co-pilot. Okay? And you get out of the pilot seat, you get over here in the second place and give Jesus first place. Life really begins then. It really begins to take on a new meaning because you're allowing Him to control your life. Paul said in Acts 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. Boy, these sports stars think they're something because they can take a little piece of pig skin pumped up with air and carry it over a line and get 6 points. Or they can shoot a round ball into a round hoop and get 1, 2, or 3 points. And people worship them. Worship them. Or a guy from Nacogdoches, Texas, over in Africa, can kick a little round soccer ball, and it's really not a strong kick. It's really a light kick, and the goalie misplayed it, and it went into the corner for the only score of the American team, and we tied England 1-1, and everybody made him out a hero. That's not life. That's not life. Allowing Him to control our life. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And then, really, life is letting Jesus Christ live in us and through us. You see, though He is here in spirit, nobody can see Him. But God says, I'm going to live in you, and I want people to be able to see Christ in you. The only way Christ is going to be made known to a blinded world because of sin is if they can see Him in your life. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Is Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is Christ allowed to live through your life? Not if He's not in control of your life. He can't be seen through your life unless you get out of the driver's seat. Boy, we're a bunch of weird birds today in Christianity, aren't we? You know, we've got our little pet things we hold on and we love so dear, we'd give up God before we'd give them up. Right now, a pastor friend of mine that took an independent Baptist church that was very liberal in its music and liberal in its dress. They called him as pastor. He told them what he believed. He told them where he stood. He told them, if he came there, if you vote for me, this is what I'm going to stand for. They called him, voted for him. And now then he's in the fight of his life because he's taken a stand against worldly music in the church. He's taken a stand on modest dress for Christians. And they're fighting him. They're voting to try to get rid of him. They'd rather give up their faith and their God than give up their britches and give up their worldly music. What's wrong with us? Why don't we get to the place where Christ becomes our life? And if I can do something a little different for Him, where He can be seen a little better in my life. Now listen, if you're going to take standards and you're going to take those and live by certain standards and get rid of certain kinds of clothing and dress and immodesty and get rid of different kinds of music and allow it to puff you up to think you're somebody super special, it's useless. It's worthless. All you're going to do is make the world hate you instead of see Jesus through you. God's not wanting us to become Pharisees. He's wanting people to see a humble, serving Savior in us. He wants people to see us in love with Him so much that we'll give Him the final say in all matters of our life. There's certain places I won't go. There's certain things I don't do. There's certain kind of music I won't listen to. And there's certain kind of clothing I won't wear or my wife doesn't wear. And I don't do that because it'd send me to hell. I don't even do that in order to be a Christian. I do that because it's just another way I can say, Jesus, I love You. Because You're my life. You've given meaning and purpose and direction for my life. And to me, to live is Christ. And I want people to be able to see Him in my life. Man, I don't want them to look at me and think of Michael Jackson or some country western singer or country singer or some rock star. I don't want them to look at me and think of Hollywood. I don't have to worry about this, but I don't want people to look at me and lust. You might look and gag, but sometimes people look in lust because of the way men or women dress. And we ought to take that in consideration. And I want to help people to live for Christ. And I want to help people to know Christ. And I just want to do what I do to make His name known and let Him know, I love You, Lord. I love You. It's just another way I can say, I love You. Monday, Mrs. Smith and I celebrated our 52nd wedding anniversary. And we spent the day together. We got up and got dressed and took a little trip together to Sam's. Then we came back home and took a nap. And then we got up and went to Papa Do's. Okay? Just a good day. Don't know if we could have made it if we hadn't had that nap period in the middle, though. But you know, the person that's made our life and our marriage different is not me or her. It's Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, today our doorbell rang, went to the door, and a man from a florist was there with a bouquet of flowers. All the way called from Ethiopia. Brother and Mrs. Downs. Now that just made our day. What, you know, what they were doing to say was simply saying, Brother Smith, we're remembering you and we love you. Do you ever get so busy in your life that you forget to remember Jesus and find ways to tell him you love him? Paul said, listen, for to me to live is Christ. And by the way, he did more to spread the gospel from a prison dungeon than most of you do in the 2000s with automobiles and telephones and internet, living in air-conditioned homes. For to me to live is Christ. I wonder if God says, Jesus ever says, I wonder if they've forgotten about me. They forgot to live for me. Forgot to tell people about me. They forget to worship me. They forget to live in such a way that I'm exalted in their lives. Whew. For to me, to live is Christ. And then, not only life is in Christ, but our life is given us so that we might serve and worship Christ. That's the reason he saved us and left us here, so we could serve him and worship him. The greatest Christian, Jesus said, is a servant. A servant. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 26 and 27, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. And Jesus said, I am come among you as he that serveth. And you know, we've got some people in our church that think they're better than Jesus because they won't serve. And Jesus said, I've come among you as one that serveth. Whew. Hey, he's given us life so that we could serve him and worship him. Though we have many members in one body, we should all live to serve. Romans chapter 12 is one of the chapters that deals with spiritual gifts. And every Christian has a spiritual gift or gifts. And you read that, and you'll find out he's given us those spiritual gifts not to make us super Christians, but to aid us in serving him and ministering for him. So we're saved to serve. We're alive as Christians to serve. The purpose of our Christian life is to serve one another and serve him and worship him. Our eternal salvation is revealed to others as we serve the Lord and serve each other. In Colossians 3, verse 24, Paul said, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. One cannot help, if we're right with God, not to serve him. Now, if we're backslidden, we won't serve him. We'll find other things to do with our time. But we cannot help but serve him when we're saved and we're right with God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse 14, chapter 9 and verse 14. The Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If we're right with God, we cannot help serve him. You see, our redemption, our salvation, when we're right with God, put servitude all over us. I love it when men and women look for opportunities to serve God and to serve others. By the way, Jesus lets us know that as oft as we do it unto the least of these, our brethren, we're doing it unto Him. Unto Him. So Christ is our life. He gives us life to serve Him. And we cannot really fully and completely serve Him without telling others about Him. Witnessing is the result of our life of service. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, what are we to witness about? About Him. About the gospel, the good news that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. You say, "Well, I don't know all of those scriptures." Did you get saved? Then learn how to give a testimony of your salvation. But we're saved to serve Him, and we can't really serve Him if we're not witnessing and telling somebody about Him. That's encompassed in our serving. To whom are we go? Are we to go? Jew and Gentile, all are under sin. All are without excuse. All need a Savior. And we're to witness with our mouth. We're to witness in our appearance and our actions. We're to witness in our walk. We're to witness through our worship. We're to witness through our faithfulness. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If we know Him as our life, and we live to serve Him because of that life, then I want you to know we've got something to look forward to after this life. For to me, to live. Father, that's our simple message tonight. What a wonderful verse and a wonderful truth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us wonderful life in Jesus Christ, for taking an ordinary, worthless life that would end in hopelessness, touching us, saving us, and giving us a life worth living with heaven to look forward to. Now, Lord, let us look at our life and evaluate our life as we're living it and ask the question, is Jesus just an add-on? Is He just an attachment, an addendum? Or is He the main person and the main reason for my life? Is He preeminent in all things? Do I love Him first and love Him most? Can I honestly say, for to me to live is an opportunity to live for Christ day by day, to make His light shine, to let people know about Him through my life and through my witness, through my service and through my worship. Thank you for Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are